team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Morning, Zoe. Got donuts.
Jeff Bridges, why are you still living above our garage?
Well, I dig the mattress, and I want to be in a T-Mobile commercial like you. Teach me, Sylvana.
Oh, no, I'm not really prepared. I couldn't possibly. At T-Mobile, get the new iPhone 17 Pro on them. It's designed to be the most powerful iPhone yet and has the ultimate pro camera system.
Wow, impressive. Let me try. T-Mobile is the best place to get iPhone 17 Pro because they've got the best network.
Nice, Jeffrey.
You heard them. T-Mobile is the best place to get the new iPhone 17 Pro on us with eligible trade-in in any condition.
So, what are we having for lunch?
Dude, my work here is done.
For 24 monthly bill credits on experience beyond for well-qualified customers plus tax and $35 device connection charge. Credits ended balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel finance agreement. iPhone 17 Pro, 256 gigs, $1,099.99 and new line minimum $100 plus a month plan without auto pay plus taxes and fees required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data 1H2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and authorities in Texas say yesterday's gunman who killed one detainee and wounded two others intended to target ICE officers.
The 29-year-old shooter acted alone, according to investigators, firing a bolt-action rifle he bought legally in August. Inside his apartment, handwritten notes were found, according to acting U.S. Attorney Nancy Larson.
He wrote that he intended to maximize lethality against ICE personnel and to maximize property damage at the facility.
ICE says the injured detainees were shackled and could not leave the van on their own while it was under fire, but that ICE and ATF agents ran into the line of fire to rescue detainees who were in the van. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Israel is carrying out retaliatory strikes in Yemen today, targeting Houthi rebels, it says, after a drone hit southern Israel yesterday, injuring at least 20. President Trump expected to sign a TikTok deal to keep the China-based app from being banned in the U.S. This is ABC News. Following the recent death of Kevin Rodriguez Zavala at Florida's Universal Epic Universe in Orlando, the family of the 32-year-old is demanding answers. He lost consciousness, they say, on a Stardust Racers roller coaster and later died at a nearby hospital. The medical examiner says there were blunt impact injuries. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze has more.
His family says Zavala, who was born with spinal cord atrophy and used a wheelchair, loved theme parks and frequently went on rides. The family's lawyers say their investigation confirms he suffered repeated head injuries during the ride. They insist his disability was not a factor.
Officials at the theme park say the ride worked as intended. Sean Diddy Combs back in court at a hearing in New York City today. His attorney's asking a judge to overturn his conviction on two counts related to prostitution. Combs' sentencing hearing is expected to be held October 3rd. He could face years in prison. His attorneys in an earlier filing have asked he serve 14 months or time served. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Confidence is knowing you're ready to handle whatever comes your way. That's what it feels like to take on your workday with CentOS. They make sure your AEDs are up to date, your fire extinguishers are tested and inspected, your floor mats are cleaned and delivered, and your workwear looks good, feels good, and is freshly laundered with a CentOS Apparel Plus program. So are you ready to take on today? Visit CentOS.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
You're on the list for Macy's Fall VIP Sale. That means you're invited to save big on this season's top designer looks at prices you'll love. Like an extra 30% off Calvin Klein, Steve Madden, Hugo Boss, and more. Plus, get 15% off beauty and fragrance from Estee Lauder, Lancome, and so many others. This only happens a few times a year. Don't miss the Fall VIP Sale today, only at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. At the Capitol, Assembly Republican lawmakers are proposing bills with the goal of alleviating Wisconsin's affordable housing shortage. Representative David Armstrong of Rice Lake at a Tuesday press conference.
We're not building those type of homes. In my area, a starter home is $400,000. That's not a starter home. Right, that's not what my workforce can afford.
Wisconsin Realtors Association President and CEO Tom Larson says it's hard for young people to purchase homes.
The longer that we put off home ownership, it has impacts on our economy and our families.
Larson says the average age of a first-time home buyer is 38. Bail has been set for a Manitowoc man now facing first-degree intentional homicide charges.
20-year-old Kirk Dunn was given a $500,000 cash bail on the homicide charge after a person was fatally shot and later died in a car on Manitowoc's south side. Manitowoc County District Attorney Jacqueline LeBrie said the victim was hit two times by bullets from a .40-caliber handgun Dunn used. However, the gun was fired eight times since eight shell casings matching the gun were found at the scene. Dunn is to have no contact with the victim's family and cannot possess any weapons. He'll return to a Manitowoc County courtroom on Monday for an initial appearance. The name of the victim has not been released. Dunn faces a life sentence if convicted. In Manitowoc, Stephen Devine, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Make sure you're properly installing your child car seats.
This is Child Passenger Safety Week, a reminder that a properly fitted child car seat can save lives. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends kids younger than 2 years old be secured in a rear-facing car seat in the back seat. Kids age 2 to 4 can switch to a forward-facing car seat with a harness in the back seat until they reach age 4 and 40 pounds. Kids should be sitting in the back seat until they turn 13. More information on Wisconsin's car seat laws can be found on the State Department of Transportation website. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Tons of sunshine on tap, not only for today, but tomorrow, into the weekend, and even for next week. High temperatures today will flirt with 80 degrees. Tomorrow, we slip to the mid-70s, then we pop back to the upper 70s for Saturday and Sunday. Need a new bathroom? Upgrade for 50% off installation now from Bath Planet. Call 1-800-329-4115. It's 77 degrees at our studios.
Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome again to AOA. Mike Adams sitting in one more time for a while here for Jesse. He'll be back with you tomorrow. It's been fun to be with you, talk over a lot of topics. We're going to do so again today. We'll talk renewable fuels with Jeff Cooper with the Renewable Fuels Association. Cam Quarrel, CEO of the National Potato Council, will be joining us, as will Mike Steenhook, Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. We have a lot to cover today. And, of course, AOA powered by Synex. Protect your bottom line. Investing in quality fuel like Synex Premium Diesel can help improve efficiency, maximizing your operations ROI. All right, let's talk markets with Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, thank you for joining us.
Great to be back with you, Mike.
Okay, we have trade concerns. We have harvest going on. We have markets not where we'd like to see them. What should we be focusing on? What are you looking at right now when it comes to the markets?
Yeah, short answer is short covering today, Mike, and seeing if the beans can't find a base here with some fresh news. You're right. We still have pretty dry harvest weather hanging over the cash market especially and keeping the momentum probably more negative in the big picture until yields are better known. But Argentina did come in and re-implement their soy and grain export tax. A couple other things have happened, i.e. the weekly export sales. They continue to show a strong demand base for the corn and wheat. So some of the major negative factors pushing soybeans to those seven-week lows here earlier in the week, they seem to have maybe given some break to the market and maybe given us a little bit of an idea of whether we can find some support here. We need it. I would say that. We need it because the $10 handle is important technical levels for beans. And it looked like to me the corn kind of ran out of gas at 430 in lead month futures. I think it needs either beans or wheat to help support it to go higher here.
We're not even sure yet how big this soybean crop is that we're bringing in. It'll be interesting to see what the size is.
You're right, and that's a really important point because, you know, starting with last week, it seemed, after the U.S.-China trade negotiations broke up, it seemed like the trade went into kind of a tunnel vision on the demand side and said, we're looking at 112 million metric tons of marketing year soybean imports for China. That ends up being 9.3 million metric tons a month. We need to get some business. Otherwise, we're in the United States losing that 9.3 million tons a month demand. We're not talking about yield right now. And quite honestly, based upon the clients I've been speaking with, Mike, it seems like they're running pretty hard on soybeans east of the Mississippi River, but it seems like we're running very heavily west of the Mississippi on corn. So we can't get a good beat, I don't think, on the yields quite yet, especially for the soybeans.
We're talking with Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, with this trade impasse we're at right now with China, and been talking about this for some time, the trend has been for China moving away from us and more towards South America anyway. What do you see as the future? Where we go with marketing if we have to turn elsewhere and try to make up for what we lose, have been selling to China? We have to find it other places, aren't we?
That's a huge point to make, especially as we see South America plant their new crop and we see that Argentina is willing to cash flow their inflation with hard currency by opening up the spigot on the soy. We're hearing now that India has bought a record amount of Argentine soybean oil in volume terms after this export tax was cut, Mike. So I think the answer is we're up about 26% year to date on soybean export inspections. We're not doing bad given the fact that we have lost all of China's business. But for 2026, I think the Trump administration's got some good ideas on trying to go out and get new business. I think that's really what it's about, get new business and assume that China and Brazil, who've been working on this bilateral trade pathway in agriculture commodities for the better part of a decade, they've got their plan implemented at this point.
In the long run, we'd be better off not to be so dependent on trade to China. But getting to that point, that can be painful.
You're exactly right. And I've been told several times by, you know, bigger people than me in Chicago that are friends and colleagues that India is the new China, and so the market is focusing on India. They're focusing on, and I think the policymakers are focusing on India. That maybe is one of the big missteps we've had here domestically in not being able to secure India when we couldn't get China. But we've done a good job with Vietnam. We're moving forward with Taiwan and Indonesia, some of these big poultry and pork producers. We really need to get underneath us as far as the demand side.
Mike, what are your thoughts on this cattle market? We know supplies are tight. Have we seen where higher beef prices, has that lessened demand at all, or is that consumer demand still strong?
I think it's weakening seasonally, Mike, is how I would put it. I would say today's weekly beef export sales being down about 40% from the four-week average would not be a surprise to continue to see the exports go down and the imports stay steady, minus the Brazilian imports. I think the big thing that I continue to talk to ranchers about is whether it's a correction or a top, it doesn't matter. At these price levels, a 15 to 20% correction could be $60 a hundredweight when it comes to feeders, or $40 a hundredweight when it comes to fats. And that's worthy of protecting, especially in a negative seasonal environment that we can typically go into, and cyclical environment that tends to be a little bit softer on the fourth quarter. And I'm also very frankly worried about the equity markets and a big correction in the fourth quarter on Wall Street. And I think that could play a role in exactly what you're talking about.
It takes a while to rebuild a herd. What signs are you seeing? Are you seeing signs of rebuilding it? And how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I'm trying to make the difference and trying to separate out the beef cow inventory, which we're only down 1 or 2% versus where we were back in 2014 at this time period when we started to rebuild the herd last cycle. It's the heifer market that is very hard to get a hold on. We're down pretty substantially from where we were in 2014. Plus, it's added to the convolution with the Mexican screwworm issue. Are heifers red hot right now because we're retaining, or are they red hot at this point compared to steer prices historically because the border's shut down? I think it's probably a combination of the two. The anecdotal high frequency mindset that the ranchers and cow calf producers are telling me right now is they're trying to rebuild their herd. It's difficult, but they want to pretty significantly. So I would say we've started, but I think 2026 is the year we really start kicking into gear on the rebuild.
Yeah, a lot of factors there. You might have cheaper grain on one hand, but if you have dry conditions, don't have pasture, I mean, all that figures in, right?
It does. And I think what helped us in 25 with the consumption and the demand that going back to your earlier questions, we had super high egg prices. We had tight poultry and pork supplies and limited imports at that point. So that's the big thing in 26 as well to keep an eye on. How much does the avian influenza take down our poultry flock? That could add to the upside potential, or at least the floor in the cattle market.
Yeah, a lot at play there, and it all works together for the outcome. We'll see where we go in 2026 on that cattle herd. Mike, good to talk with you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulow with Global Commodity Analytics. AOA powered by Cinex. Remember, with harvest season now in full swing, you can count on Cinex quality fluids for high performance. Protect your operation and avoid downtime with Cinex premium lubricants. We're going to talk renewable fuels next with Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association right here on AOA.
On your farm, every hour counts. Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Premium Diesel Fuel keeps your equipment running at peak power with cleaner engines, fewer breakdowns, and more hours per gallon. Pair that with Cenex Premium Lubricants, engineered to protect tractors, combines, and other heavy-duty equipment through long days and tough conditions. From planting to harvest, Cenex delivers the performance and protection you can count on. In the field, in the shop, and in every season, Cenex keeps you moving. Find your local distributor at Cenex.com.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Don't you? Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back. Mike Adams with you one more day. Jesse will be back with you tomorrow. AOA powered by Cinex. Be sure to partner with local experts. Cinex trusted local experts can help you find the right lubricant product that'll protect your equipment. Safeguard your equipment with premium lubricants. Don't let tough conditions slow you down. Cinex premium grease provides equipment with superior strength to keep going. All right, we're joined now by Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. Jeff, haven't talked with you in a while. How are things going?
Hey, Mike, great to hear your voice, man. Things are going good. How about you?
Good, good. Our Cardinals are wrapping up a disappointing year, but we're getting ready for next year, right? So
let's not talk about that.
Yeah. All right. When I saw some news coming out about small refinery exemptions and reallocation, I thought, oh, here we go again. And I have to admit, yeah. I was totally confused, and I was trying to find the bottom line. It seems like bottom line was, well, we're still not sure. Where are we with this, Jeff?
Well, that is the bottom line, Mike. You're right. We still aren't sure exactly how this is all going to pan out. And it's frustrating to me, it's surprising to me, that we are still talking about small refinery exemptions and reallocation. We're celebrating the 20-year anniversary of the renewable fuel standard this year. Refiners have had two decades to figure out how to come into compliance with this program. Congress always intended that exemption program to be temporary in nature. The courts have said it was meant to be a bridge to compliance. But here we are, 20 years later, still talking about it, still dealing with it. And so what EPA has proposed is to, they've granted a bunch of exemptions, and now they're trying to figure out what to do in terms of reallocating those exempted volumes. So they have proposed a range of options. They've said we can reallocate half of that exempted volume, or we can reallocate all of that exempted volume. Or we'll also take comments and listen to what people have to say on other options. So we've got really a range of outcomes that goes from no reallocation at all to every gallon being reallocated. We, of course, are advocating for full reallocation. We believe that's what the law requires. Otherwise, you've got an RFS program that has more holes in it than Swiss cheese, and nobody has confidence in the numbers. So we're pushing for full reallocation. We think it's going to be, 6 weeks or a couple months yet before we get some finality and some answers on EPA on how this is going to go.
You know, over those 20 years, we have seen different administrations, different political parties in power, and basically play yep. fast and loose with the renewable fuel standard and on this very issue. We've seen EPA administrators usually at the, working for their boss, which is the president. We have seen EPA administrators do some some strange things, some head-scratching things.
Indeed.
With the RFS. Now, and this is the second bite at the apple for the Trump administration. It'll be interesting to see. This is their chance to really step up and follow the law that we've been calling for these 20 years now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we do think EPA has the opportunity to do the right thing. We're really glad to see that they, that full reallocation is on the table, and it's something they are strongly considering. Again, I think we believe they learned some lessons from the last go round on SREs during the first Trump term. They don't want to repeat that. We don't want to repeat that. I don't think anybody wants to repeat that. You're right. I mean, I think all stakeholders, including a lot of the refiners themselves, are very frustrated with this SRE provision and how it's been managed and mismanaged over the years. So we're hopeful that this EPA, finally puts this issue to rest. It restores those volumes that they exempted and adopts policy moving forward that hey, if we're going to grant exemptions to certain small refineries, we're going to take the volumes they should have blended and add them back, reallocate those to the non-exempt parties to make sure that these RVO numbers are real. So that's what we hope is going to happen. We're confident that things are headed in that direction, but you never know until you get there.
Talking with Jeff Cooper, president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. Jeff, had a lot of conversations just this week with different guests. I've been talking about the ag economy, farm crisis, mm-hmm. near or getting close to a farm crisis in some cases. For some, it already is. It seems like, and there are a lot of different things out there being talked about, an economic aid package, a bridge, or whatever you want to call it. And, of course, we're still waiting on a farm bill. But it seems like one tool at the disposal of this administration right now that would help the ag economy is open up sales of E15 year-round nationwide.
Yeah. Absolutely. And to us, Mike, that is the no-brainer solution here. And you're right. Maybe that doesn't cure all of the ills that we see facing farmers today. But boy, it certainly helps unlock a new market opportunity. It puts puts some pressure on demand and really helps start moving more bushels. And it should be easy to do. We've been at this for a decade now, trying to get legislation, trying to get regulatory changes to simply allow gas stations to sell E15 year round. We do think there's going to be some opportunities this fall in Congress to move that legislation and finally remove that barrier. And that would be a very positive signal to the markets when they really need one right now. So we're continuing to work on that, meeting every day with friends and supporters in Congress to try and figure out how to get this done, as well as folks in the administration. At EPA, I think, is supportive of resolving this issue as well. They're tired of dealing with it, but they believe, like we do, that it's really got to be Congress that takes the lead here.
That would certainly help the domestic market. What about the export market for ethanol? How's it doing?
It's doing really well, Mike, and I think that's another real bright spot. There's not a lot of bright spots out there in the ag marketplace right now. But I think if you're a corn grower and you're looking at, man, where's all this corn going to go? We're moving a lot of corn out of this country in the form of ethanol today. We're on track for record ethanol exports this year. We think we'll be well over 2 billion gallons of exports by the time the year is over. That's 12 or 13% of what we're producing or what we expect to produce this year. We had record exports last year, and like I said, we're on pace to eclipse that this year. So that's been a bright spot. We see plenty of room for continued growth in export markets. We are seeing some positive developments in the trade deals and frameworks and negotiations that are happening on behalf of ethanol. That is a real bright spot in an otherwise cloudy picture for corn demand this fall.
This administration came in touting its support for domestic energy. They wanted to, really focus on producing our own energy, and while not getting rid of solar or wind, but obviously that's not the preference of this administration. So where does renewable fuels like ethanol fit into it would seem it would open the door back up, but we're kind of waiting for that door to be pushed all the way open, aren't we?
Yeah, we really are, Mike. I do think this administration has been supportive and inclusive of renewable fuels when they talk about domestic energy. I mean, you go back to the executive orders that President Trump put out on day one of his presidency, regarding the energy emergency and deregulating the energy space, and renewable fuels were clearly specified and included there. So we have seen support from this administration, but we do have, these remaining barriers that and impediments that really need to be removed to truly unleash ethanol's potential and get more volume out there. Not only to help farmers with the demand problem that they're facing this fall, but to reduce gas prices for consumers. We still have a lot of work to do. E15, RFS, small refinery exemptions, all the issues we've been talking about. But we do think things are headed in a positive direction for the industry.
I don't know how many times we've said this over the years, but I'll say it one more time. We've never really unleashed fully what renewable fuels can do to let this industry really take off.
That's right, Mike, and that's our ultimate objective is we've got a product that is lower cost at the pump. It's cleaner burning, fewer emissions out the tailpipe, less greenhouse gas emissions. It's made domestically. It supports ag economies. I don't see how anyone could look at this and say, why aren't we doing more of this? We just need regulators to get out of the way and truly unleash ethanol and let it run.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to talk with you.
Yeah, same here, Mike.
Jeff Cooper, President, CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. Choose the perfect grease for your vehicle. Select the right grease from Cenex Premium Greases. Stay with us. More coming up from AOA.
Your equipment is an investment. Protect it with Cenex. Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Premium Diesel Fuel is designed with advanced detergents to keep injectors clean and engines running efficiently. Cenex Premium Lubricants are triple tested for quality and proven to extend the life of your tractors, combines, and other heavy-duty equipment. From the first seed in the ground to the last load off the field, Cenex helps you go the distance. Learn more at Cenex.com. Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
Farmers, thinking about doing cover crops? Christina Olson is pleased to announce Cover Crop and Forage Planting Services this fall. Adding a living root onto your valued land can improve soil health, build organic matter, residue management, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, as well as increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Find her on Facebook at Christina's Cover Crops, offering winter wheat, rye, and triticale.
Milk markets were lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk down 27 to 1677, November down 22 to 1630, December down 11 to 1664, January down 7 at 1673. Triple-digit losses in the live and feeder cattle markets on the day. Lower exports from the prior week pressuring markets. Box beef prices also lower as well. And packers trying to get long on purchases to continue to move the cash prices lower, all pressuring the market. Meanwhile, hog markets were mostly higher, short covering ahead of the October hogs and pigs report, helping to support at least the nearby prices. October live cattle down $2 to $232.05. October feeder cattle down $5.57 to $354.05. October hogs up 67 cents to 100.10. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly higher, short covering in the grain markets today, along with Argentina announcing the reestablishment of those export taxes. Those two issues did combine to help move the markets higher, even though the weather looks positive for the harvest and also for the winter wheat planting. December corn up 1.5 to 425.75. November beans up 3.25 to 1012.25. December wheat up 7.5 to 527. With this market update, I'm Brian Winnekins.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Jesse Allen. Welcome back. Mike Adams sitting in again today for Jesse. He'll be back with you tomorrow. AOA powered by Cenex. Here we are in another busy harvest season. You can't afford downtime. Make sure your equipment runs properly. You can count on Cenex quality fluids for high performance. Protect your operation and avoid that costly downtime with Cenex premium lubricants. All right, joining us now is the CEO of the National Potato Council, Cam Quarles. Cam, good to have you with us. How are you?
Mike, I'm good. It's great to talk to you.
It's good to talk with you again. I see you're about to go on a trip to Japan with Secretary Rollins. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this was it rescheduled from a previous meeting that we were hoping to have in July, and that got overtaken by some of the negotiations around the Japan trade agreement and all these other ones that have been going on across the world. That trip right now is back on. I'll be on a plane on Monday to Tokyo, one of our key export markets for processed potatoes. And what we want to do is get it open for fresh potatoes. We think the opportunity there is going to be tremendous for Japanese consumers as well as for U.S. growers.
I know you've been frustrated with Japan kind of dragging its feet on opening up that market for fresh potatoes.
We have been. This has been a 30-year market access petition, and it's been the definition of, you know, if you're a basketball fan, it's four-corner defense. The Japanese government, I think they're under some pressure from their own farmers to keep that market closed. They don't allow any fresh potatoes in right now from anywhere in the world. But if we can get that market open, and I think Secretary Rollins, her whole team there at USDA, as well as the president, have the leverage to be able to get past all of this protectionism. If we can get it done, $150 million a year is what the estimate is for U.S. Growers shipping into that very valuable market.
Well, it's an important trip, and we hope you have a lot of success. Now, meanwhile, USDA has announced some money to help fund some recipients, including your National Potato Council, to help address some trade barriers and open up some markets for specialty crops. Tell us about that.
They have a very important grant program that comes from the Foreign Agricultural Service at USDA. This one is specifically to help us maintain our access to Mexico. You and I talked for a number of years, Mike, about the challenges we were facing in trying to get that market open. We got past those challenges, but it is still a somewhat disputed market. I think the competition, the Mexican growers would prefer not to have those valuable U.S. potatoes coming in. We want to make sure we maintain our access, and in partnership with USDA, with Secretary Rollins, Undersecretary Lindbergh at the Foreign Agricultural Service, these very valuable funds allow us to make sure that we can keep our access going. It has grown, that market, just in 3 years, has grown to $130 million a year in new U.S. ag exports. So the partnership with FAS is well worth the price of that grant.
We're talking with Cam Quarles, CEO of the National Potato Council. Cam, some of these trade deals that are being announced, do they have benefits for the potato growers in this country?
The ones that have been announced so far, Mike, are really kind of framework agreements. The markets that we are concentrating on, Japan really is the primary one that we really want to enhance our access to. This is on the fresh side. That deal is still to be concluded. When you look at some of the tariff concessions, though, that have gone on for processed products, and some of the rebalancing of our internal tariffs here in the U.S., there are some benefits for U.S. Potatoes and potato products. So there are some glimmers there. Our industry, China, is not a huge export market for potatoes. So a lot of the stress that is facing some of our colleagues across U.S. agriculture in regard to China, That's not hitting our growers as hard, but we're looking forward to the opportunities that may present themselves here in the future as a lot of these things get fully played out.
Meanwhile, Cam, not only do we not have a farm bill still, but right now we're just wondering if the government's going to be shutting down here soon.
Yeah, it's. I think that's what's on everybody's mind right now. You know, Mike, our offices are about three blocks from the U.S. Capitol, and I think everybody around here in our neighborhood and really across the country are trying to figure out the answer to that. Ultimately, you got to get the votes in both the House and the Senate. The margins are very thin there. We do not want to see the government shut down, certainly, but those are negotiations that go on way above our level in agriculture. That's going to comprise a lot of delicate negotiations here between now and next Tuesday at midnight.
It's hard to imagine. Let's say the government does stay open, but even then, it's hard to see now a pathway to getting a farm bill done this year with so many other things that they're dealing with and how slowly things work, even though they can speed it up, it seems like, when they want to. But it's hard to see right now a breakthrough for a farm bill this year.
Well, you know, Mike, farm bills ride on bipartisanship. You know, trying to jam a farm bill through purely with Republican votes or purely with Democrat votes, it doesn't work that way. And we need to see that bipartisanship, that will to sit down at the table in order to really produce a very productive farm bill. Remember, the last farm bill was written basically back in 2017. That's eight, getting on 9 years ago, and it was enacted in 2018, but that's a long time. The world has changed a lot since the last farm bill was written. We need those updates. It was great that the One Big Beautiful Bill provided a number of new resources to farm bill programs, but it didn't have the ability to update those programs, modernize them, recognize that the global marketplace has changed and we need to change with it. We really need that bipartisanship. And yeah, you're right. It's it is a challenge, but all of us in agriculture, I think we're pushing as hard as we can to make sure that any opportunity to get a farm bill done, we're able to take advantage of it.
What are you hearing about any potential aid package or bridge or whatever they want to call it? What are you hearing and what that might look like?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about that. And in fact, I've been having meetings as recently as last evening with various officials on it. Clearly, they are focused on a lot of the challenges that are facing the Title I commodities, corn, wheat, cotton, rice, soybeans, those folks. But just to remind everyone, for food consumption, about half of everything the U.S. produces is specialty crops. And those producers, potatoes, all of the fruit and vegetable industry, they're facing the same economic challenges as our Title I colleagues. We're all in a very volatile situation right now, and I think all of these producers are very hopeful that a package can be delivered that really keeps these family farms operating, gets us through this what are some very, very challenging times.
Where would the money come from, you think?
It's an open question. Congress could deliver those dollars. Obviously, you got to get past all of this shutdown discussion. USDA has the capacity to deliver that. They have mechanisms. We saw that earlier this year in some of the programs where they were helping farmers out. So I think all of those options are still on the table. The big challenge for us, Mike, in terms of specialty crops is, unlike our Title I friends, we don't have a futures market where you can see pricing moves on basically a second-by-second basis. Specialty crops, 300 different commodities under one umbrella, very challenging to get that data. And so USDA has used alternate models in the past, which have worked really well. And we want them to continue to use those models to make sure the relief gets to growers who need it.
Yeah, that's it. Nothing, though, spurs action, it seems like, in Washington more than an election, an upcoming election. Midterms are coming up. That might spur some action.
I think you're absolutely right about that. Certainly, a number of the districts that the House districts that may be in play this time around have agriculture as a component of them. Certainly there is a huge battle for control of the House. Senate, number of Senate seats are up. I think it's going to focus the mind of a number of these legislators in making sure that they can make their rural economies as healthy as they possibly can. And a lot of these folks, from, you know, labor challenges to trade issues to input costs, all of these things, it's really hitting producers' bottom line.
Yeah, it really is. And we'll see if they can come up with something. As you said, we need bipartisan support. It's hard to come by these days more than ever, it seems like. Cam, good to talk with you again. Thank you. Have a good trip to Japan.
Thanks, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Cam Quarles, CEO of the National Potato Council. Remember, if to protect your operation and avoid downtime, make sure your equipment's running efficiently. Your operation needs quality premium lubricants from Cinex. Cinex stores premium lubricants help keep machines in check and minimizes downtime. Cinex will keep you going. Manage risk on your operation with Cinex premium lubricants. Coming up next, we're going to talk transportation issues with the executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition, Mike Steenhoek. Joins us next on AOA.
We asked parents, think about it. You take thousands of steps every day. Shouldn't every single one of them feel amazing? Well, with ArchFit hands-free Skechers slip-ins, they can. Skechers teamed up with podiatrists to design a shoe that provides amazing arch support for all-day comfort. And best of all, you get all this comfort, stability, and support with the ease of Skechers slip-ins technology. Just slip them on. There's no bending down and no struggling to tie your shoes. Just step in and go. Try ArchFit hands-free Skechers slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever comfortable footwear is sold.
Confidence is knowing you're ready to handle whatever comes your way. That's what it feels like to take on your workday with CentOS. They make sure your AEDs are up to date, your fire extinguishers are tested and inspected, your floor mats are cleaned and delivered, and your workwear looks good, feels good, and is freshly laundered with the CentOS Apparel Plus program. So are you ready to take on today? Visit CentOS.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Walk right through the door, it's all here to explore. With guides in the know, when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love, and love what you find.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
On the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discuss the important relationship between corn and poultry with Connie Fisher from the Kansas Corn Growers Association and Shelby Watson with the USA Poultry and Ag Export Council.
The poultry industry is such a big user of corn. You know, sometimes as a cattle producer in Kansas, I get a lot of questions about why is NCGA and Kansas Corn partnering with USAPEAC? But, you know, the industry itself uses about 2.2 billion bushels of corn a year. And so it's just natural that NCGA and USAPEAC and states like Kansas and Kansas Corn are partners with them.
Considering we represent several of our feathered friends, the poultry industry as a whole, we definitely have a very, very important relationship, and I think a lot of strategy is needed in order for us to align, and we are just grateful for the buy-in from corn growers. You know, everybody wins here.
Learn more from the National Corn Growers Association at ncga.com.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission, license number DC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
Farming isn't just a job, it's a way of life. But even the toughest seasons can take a toll. If you're feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or just not yourself, I want you to know you're not alone. Talk to someone you trust, call a neighbor, reach out to a professional. Your mental health matters for you, your family, and your farm or ranch. It's okay to ask for help. Brought to you by Farm and Ranch Media, standing strong with rural America.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back. Mike Adams, the fill-in for Jesse. He will be back with you tomorrow. AOA, powered by Cenex. Remember, bargain tractor hydraulic fluids aren't worth the gamble. Trust Cenex quality fluids for performance you can rely on. All right, we're joined now by Mike Steenhoek, Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. Mike, good to talk with you again. We're in another harvest season. Want to look at some transportation issues. One of them, I would think, would be some low water levels on the rivers can impact certainly barge traffic. What are you hearing?
Yeah, it's kind of surprising and a bit confounding that we are now in year four consecutively of low water conditions on the Mississippi River. There was a lot of optimism earlier this year with pretty substantial precipitation throughout the spring, throughout much of the summer. And then really when we hit middle of part of August, the spigots really turned off throughout much of the Midwest and Plains states. Now, we had a more of an elongated period of dry conditions in states east of the Mississippi River. And these are the states that feed into the Ohio River. And so we had low water volumes on the Ohio, and that really becomes problematic, particularly when you get in the lower part of the Mississippi River. So the Ohio River meets up with the Mississippi at Cairo, Illinois, the southern tip of Illinois. And at that point, about 60% of the water volume on the lower Mississippi River is supplied actually by the Ohio River. So low water volume in the Ohio River will often translate into low water volumes on the lower Mississippi River. And so you're seeing water levels at places, particularly like Memphis, Tennessee, Vicksburg, Mississippi, and further on south, having quite low water levels. And it's having an impact on barge transportation. And this is a very inopportune time because, as we all know, this is really game time when it comes to harvest, but then also the need to transport that harvest. So obviously a real concern for us.
And it's just not a lot you can do. You just can't turn on the spigot, right, and change it. It looks like it'll be a challenge through this harvest season.
Yeah, and the forecast is really not that favorable. We picked up, in some parts of the country, some rain over the last few days, which, I've seen a response at these river gauges modestly. But it really is going to take a more sustained amount of rain to really start turning the tide on that. And, one of the points that we make is, there's a lot of headwinds confronting our exports right now. It goes without saying that, China being the good example of that. And so when you've got some of these challenges on the demand side, what you want to make sure is that you know, with the remaining demand that we do have, the remaining exports we do have, we want to have as cost-effective of a supply chain to meet that remaining demand as possible. The last thing you want to do is have that supply chain become more costly, because then that's a further encroachment onto the profitability of the industry. You want to have that transportation number, that cost number, as low as possible. And so, unfortunately, when it comes to the inland waterway system, it's really not providing that right now.
We're talking with Mike Steenhook, Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. Mike, what are your thoughts on this potential rail merger? We've been hearing about the Union Pacific Norfolk Southern merger. What impact would that have? There's always concern about less competition, how that affects service. How do you look at it?
Yeah, that is something that, you know, history does teach us, that mergers and consolidations within the rail industry will inspire further mergers and consolidations within the rail industry. And what has happened in the past, and a concern moving forward, is that when you have fewer options, fewer transportation options, it can result in a decreased reliability of service and or increased rail rates. That's just something that we have experienced over the past. What we want in agriculture is as many transportation providers competing for our business. That's good for us. And so anytime you're reducing those numbers, that obviously is a concern. Now, you will hear some agricultural shippers and other shippers in other industries talk about, if you have a merger of those two railroads, Norfolk Southern being an eastern part of the U.S. railroad, Union Pacific more west, you could have more of a seamless transition from one part of the country to the next. And one of the things that is a reality with transportation is handoffs are extensive. So right now you'll have these handoffs from one region of the country to the next. And anytime you have a handoff, there's costs associated with that. And so what the proponents of this merger convey is that you're eliminating an important handoff, and that's going to result in more seamless, more efficient rail service throughout the country. So you will hear some rail customers talk about that as well. So, but mostly we're hearing concern about it. Now, the president recently came out with some supportive comments about the merger. The largest railroad worker union recently came out in support of it, because there's apparently a guarantee that it won't have a negative impact on jobs. So the landscape is certainly dynamic right now. There's obviously some very influential people that are expressing support for it, but there's still a lot of folks who are concerned with it, including a lot of agricultural customers.
All right, we'll see how it plays out. Mike, thanks for the update. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you. Thanks, Mike.
Mike Steenhook, Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. Well, there are plenty of challenges this harvest season. And, of course, one of those challenges that you don't want to deal with would be downtime. Remember, you can count on Cinex quality fluids for high performance. Protect your operation. Protect your equipment. Avoid that costly downtime with Cinex premium lubricants. Well, for me, I'm going to wrap it up here. It's been good to sit in for Jesse these few days while he's been traveling. He'll be back with you tomorrow with lots of stories, lots of information from his trip, and also, of course, the latest on all these issues we've been talking about, and he'll bring you up to date with markets and the latest ag news. Thanks to all of our guests for joining us this week. If we try to bring you up to date on these issues that are so important, we know a lot of you are very, very busy with harvest. Be careful. We all, whether we're farmers or not farmers, if you're just out on the roads, everyone, be more aware, more patient, be careful. Let's make sure it is a safe harvest season. Thanks for joining us, everyone, here on AOA.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope, their hope.
Many of our U.S. veterans and service members face challenges: mental health struggles, housing obstacles, employment, food insecurity, and social isolation, to name just a few. I'm Bob Woodruff.
eBay has reinvented vehicle buying. From click to curb, everything's covered. Ever try to buy a car online and end up in a parking lot with a stranger and some blind trust? That era is over. Now with Secure Purchase, eBay isn't just where you find your car. It's where you buy it, start to finish. Title, financing, registration, delivery, it's all built in. This is the modern way to buy your next ride on eBay. eBay. Things people love. Secure Purchase is powered by Caramel Dealer Services, LLC, an eBay subsidiary.
Here's the tale of the Daily Med Fill. Same old pharmacy, same old bill, but those prices kept rising higher still.
Till the savings wrangler rode in, cool as can be. Tap Good RX, saving massively.
No plan? Don't matter, none. Up to 80% off. Deals are done.
Discounts hitting harder than Ma's chili. Dang. That one little app does all the rest.
Save time and money on prescriptions.
Check Good RX. Good RX is not insured.
Real Country, 1430 AM stereo. WRDN. Durant, Townsville, Pepin. And 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump has signed a deal to keep TikTok up and running in the U.S. It allows U.S. stakeholders to buy the Chinese-owned company due to national security concerns. Here's ABC's Mary Bruce.
TikTok's U.S. operations will now be run